Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website, www.calmo-ucc.org. This Sunday, Reverend Ellis will bring the message. Reverend Howard Ellis always enjoys coming back to California and catching up with everyone, and I know everyone enjoys visiting with him as well. It's the first Sunday of October, and it definitely feels like fall outside. Next Sunday, we will finish our Simple Church sermon series that has been looking at various aspects of growing as a disciple of Jesus, and this Sunday is also Communion Sunday. I've been reading through Isaiah this past week, and this verse from Isaiah 41:10 really encouraged me, and I hope it encourages you as well. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He says in the following verses that Isaiah will search for his enemies but not find them because God has defeated them. That's my encouragement to you this morning. Hold on to God's righteous right hand through the difficult times of life. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And thank you for listening.
Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
They shall mount up with wings like eagles.
They shall run and not be weary.
They shall walk and not faint.
Our first hymn this morning is "There is Power in the Blood."
God Singers, our children's choir, sings "Happy All the Time." Chambers reads our scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, "Simple Church Created to Serve."
Our first scripture lesson today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are equal, and each shall receive his wages according to his labor. For we are fellow workers for God. You are God's field, God's building. According to the commission of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and another man is building upon it. Let each man take care how he builds upon it. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson also comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, God Singers. If your child's not involved in God Singers or Rockman, I encourage you to do so. Wednesday nights at 6:30 to 7:30, a great time of lessons and learning and just a wonderful time. And you see part of the product right here, but that's just a part of what they're learning and the fellowship that they're getting to be exposed to. We've been studying and going through what we're looking at being a disciple. And if you've not picked up one of these cards, our ushers will be in the back today to make sure you get one of them. This is kind of our discipleship dashboard. You know, what's the purpose of coming to church? What's the purpose of being a Christian? Part of that is to grow as a disciple. And so we've tried to put some framework with that, something that we can kind of peg ourselves and just kind of give ourselves some encouragement. We talked about growing or connecting through worship like we are today. Man, what a wonderful day of worship it's been so far. But to worship regularly together, as well as to worship individually through the week, just giving God thanks for the great things that He does for us. We talked about growing spiritually, making sure daily we're getting our Bible reading and our prayer and giving of ourselves generously to those around us. So we want to grow spiritually. We don't want to stay at the same level. As we get older, we should mature physically as we do, but we also should mature spiritually, that we don't respond to things like we did when we were young, that we've learned some wisdom. We've seen our elders. We've seen the ones that have modeled faith in front of us. We want to grow spiritually. Last week we talked about the need to fellowship with one another. If we're going to carry each other's burdens, as Christ says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that to fulfill His law, to carry each other's burdens, we've got to know each other. And the way you get to know each other is not just on Sunday morning, exchanging pleasantries or talking about the weather or last night's game or whatever. Those are important things, of course, but it's getting to know each other, being in each other's homes and getting to know our struggles and our weaknesses and assistance that we might need and drawing closer together so we can spur each other on in our faith. We come to one now, it's time to, all the things that we talked about are kind of consumer things, things that encourage us and build us up. It's time now to share what we have. We have under serve, it says. We have ways of serving by being in the choir, being a scripture reader, a greeter, a teacher, a dinner helper, an encourager, a nursery attendant. We're looking for one of those. The announcement's in the bulletin. An audio tech, a ministry leader. We use our unique talents and abilities to serve each other as a community of Christ. I remember my years in college were good years. Man, I loved college. It was fun. My first semester of college, man, we pulled so many pranks and we did so many things, built relationships with people, stayed up late at night. It was just a really fun time. All neat experiences traveling around, got to play some college basketball. That was fun. Got to go to different churches. That was fun. Met my wife the last year, my senior year of college, met her, and just wonderful experiences. But there came a day when I had to leave campus. You know, they kind of kick you off after a while. You just can't hang around. It came that graduation day. It came time to leave. It came time to go out into the world and take what you've learned, couple it with the experience that you gather in the different places you miss. There came a time that we needed to go. Take all the knowledge, all the fellowship, all the growing spiritually, and spread it and show it and serve it to those that are around. Jesus did that with His disciples. He had 72 disciples. He sent them out two by two, and it was time to go. It was time to play. It was time to get out of the bleachers. It was time to get off the bench. It's time to get on the field, trying to get on the court, and try to show people what we've learned and what's part of our lives. As we look at here, our service this morning, Simple Church, we have been created to serve. If we just come and we sit and soak things up and we don't take it out and we don't squish it out so people can be experienced of what we've taken part of our life, what are we doing? Are we really growing? Are we just staying at one level? We see why we must serve is that, number one, we're created to serve. Jeremiah chapter 1 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I'm too young." He had an excuse. "I don't want to go out. I'd like to stay exactly where I am." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you." We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4 this morning. If you want to turn there or pull it up on your phones, we're going to have lots of other scriptures. If you're new to us, there's a place in your bulletin. You can write those down and read them later. But we see that we're created for a purpose. He starts there in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. "The end of all things is near." I think that's interesting. Because when we know that the end is near, what does time become? It becomes precious. It becomes important. We want to make the most of our time. So that's what he's saying to the Christians right there. He says, hey, make the most of your time. Be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins." Again, that idea of love and fellowship. "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." We talked about that last week. "Encourage one another. Have each other in your homes. Get to know each other so we can build each other up." But then look what he says in verses 10 and 11. "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." He doesn't say just the piano player or just the organ player or just the tech person or just the ushers or the preacher or the secretary of the church. He says, each of you use whatever gift you receive to serve others. Verse 11, "If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." He tells us that each one of us have a gift. Each one of us have been created to serve. And that the gift that we've been given then is to result in glory and praise to Jesus and God himself. But the key is, how do we find those areas to serve? How do we know where God wants us to place our talents? And what talents do we have? We see in Isaiah 64, 8, he says, "Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hands." Again in Jeremiah, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." We see that we are uniquely created to give service to God and to others. And that each one of us has been made unique, special for the task that we have before us. I remember when I worked at Fasco one summer, I sat at a press all night long and we pressed out the same windshield for their motors. Exactly the same, one after the other. You couldn't tell one from the other. That's not how God creates his people. Each one of us is unique. Each one of us has unique personalities and talents and abilities to be used for him. I was visiting a resident out Valley Park West this past week, and on her bed she has this beautiful hand-woven crocheted bed cover. It's beautiful of all colors, made by one of her relatives. And it's special and it's precious because it's handmade. We see in Psalm 139, you know, what we read to the children just a few moments ago, that he knit us together. He knew us, and he has a plan for us because we are created to serve, but we're also saved to serve. A saved heart is one that wants to serve. We deserve hell. We deserve separation from God because we are not holy of ourselves, but because of God's touch, because of his son's blood, it saves us and spurs us on to save. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writes that. He says, "For as by grace you've been saved through faith, this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. We are God's craftsmanship. We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He saved us for a purpose. We were saved to serve. We were called to serve. I love John chapter 13 when Jesus is his last moments with his disciples, all those chapters leading up to his arrest. And there's a verse in there. As I read it, it gripped me and it kind of made me think for a moment. John chapter 13, verse 3. And it says this, kind of a throwaway verse, one you would easily skip over. It said, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and that he was returning to God. He was at that moment, he understood perfectly his purpose. He knew why God had sent him. He knew exactly where he was going. He knew exactly what he was going to face. He was in complete control. And what last lesson did he give to his disciples? What was the most important lesson that he gave his disciples? Well, as Paul Harvey would say, read the rest of the story. Later in John chapter 13, he says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He's asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, rightly so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord, teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do so as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. We've been called to serve. If you're going to grow into the disciple that Jesus wants to be, he wants to use your unique talents, your unique abilities, your unique personality, and then his spiritual gift that he gives you to serve others. But beyond that, we've been commanded to serve. His last words to his disciples before he ascended, he said, go into all the world. Just go. Get moving. Don't sit still any longer. In Matthew chapter 25, we have the parable of the talents. He called his servants together and he entrusted his wealth to him. He gave one guy five bags, another one two, another one one, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received five bags of gold went once, made five more. The one who went two, made two more. But the man who received the one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, hid his master's money, and went about his business. See, that's the choice that we have. We've been commanded to serve. I think too many of us make excuses and we dig that hole and we put our talent ability and then we go out and do the things that we want to do, the things that feel comfortable to us. But God has commanded us to serve. But how can we serve? Where's our place in the service of our church and in our kingdom? It's hard. We can have all kinds of excuses. We read some of them in 1 Corinthians 12. You can read Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. You see some of the gifts that are listed there that come through the Holy Spirit. One person put through the acronym of the word SHAPE for us to identify which gift and how God wants us to use it. The S stands for spiritual gifts. The words are gifts of grace that God gives specifically to each one of us to use for Him. But each one of us has gifts that God wants to use. Unique talents and abilities, gifts that He wants us to share with others. But then He takes our heart, that's the H in SHAPE, He takes our heart, our passions, our enthusiasm, our effectiveness, and combines them with the gift that He uses for us to use and find our place to serve. Maybe your enthusiasm is a certain hobby or a certain skill that you have. I don't know where your passions are. God will use His gift and your passions along with your abilities. Some of your abilities are obvious. Musical abilities, teaching abilities, strength and size, mechanical abilities, making music, whatever skill or ability he has, God wants to use it for him. I remember visiting with a man that I really admire. He's a guy that I've really come to respect and really grow to appreciate. And I remember visiting with him one day. He says, you know, I can't do what you do. He says, I can't speak. I can't remember things very well. He says, but the one skill that I got, he says, I know how to build things. He says, I've built houses, I've built these things all my life. He says, I can use these hands to help somebody that needs something fixed or built. And so he would travel with youth, the youth groups at the churches he would at, and he would help repair roofs, he would help fix windows. He would do anything that his hands could do because that was the ability that God had given him. What's your ability? Maybe your ability is to fix a car or fix some wiring or fix something that's broken at somebody's home. God is going to take that ability and use it for Him with your passion and with the special talents that He gives you to go right along with your personality. Maybe you're not one that likes to be up in front of people. Maybe it would scare you to death to speak in front of people. I tell you, I get nervous every time I get up here. I still get nervous. But maybe you're more of a one that's behind the scenes, one that wants to do stuff that nobody will be looking over your shoulder. Something simple that only God might notice. I remember serving at a church, and one Sunday I'd mentioned that I'd like to have a glass of water. I was thirsty that day. Could someone get me a glass of water? Somebody came up and gave me a glass of water, and from that Sunday forward, every Sunday, that same gentleman would have a glass of water waiting for me before church started. And he was an individual that probably a lot of people would dismiss. A lot of people probably wouldn't expect a lot out of him. There was one that probably had been in that community, and people would just kind of assume, well, that's so-and-so. But he took his personality of working behind the scenes to make sure that his preacher every Sunday had a little glass of water to wet his whistle as the service went along. What little thing can you take your personality to do to make a difference in somebody's life? Because the letter E then finishes out the word shape, and it stands for experience. What experiences in your life God has had you go through that you can share and encourage others with? Family experiences. May you come from a home that only had one parent, or lost a parent at an early age, or had struggles in their household. Maybe you came from a household that had addiction that was part of it. Maybe you have a special job or vocation that people be interested in, or the education that you had. But I think the experiences that God uses most to minister and serve with are the painful ones that each one of us go through. I visit with different people over the years that have lost children in different ways or have lost spouses. I've never had to go through those things. I do what God wants me to do. I come there, I try to share, I try to pray with them. But the people that serve the most of them are the ones that have gone through the same experiences themselves. I remember visiting with a lady that lost a son. It was 24 years later. We went out to dinner. It was the anniversary of that day that she lost her teenage son. And I asked her, how in the world did you make it? I said, please give me some lessons so I can share, because I know I'm going to have that happen in my ministry somewhere down the road. She says, you know what? Every day the preacher, every day somebody from church would come by and just visit with me. They would just be there in my presence. They would just encourage me. For 2 years, I couldn't function. She said it was 7 years before I could really get out and do the things I used to. But the church was there every step of the way. Have you had painful experiences that you could share with someone that is now going through the same thing? Someone that you could sit with and say, I know exactly what you're going through. You're going to make it. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. With my help and with God's help, we can make it through. Peter divided his two things into speaking and serving. You know, there's different ways to speak. It's just not up in front. You can speak by welcoming someone here today. If you see someone here today you don't know, say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Just go up and introduce yourself. Say, I'm glad that you're here today. We love to have you. Please come back again. That's one way to speak and serve. There's a way you can speak and encourage someone. There's another way that you can speak and invite someone. I am so sorry that I missed out not getting to know your dad, Kim, Dick Spieler. I've heard story after story about how he would welcome people through the back door who he didn't know, but he made sure that they knew him by the time they left. And there's several families that are here today because of Dick Spieler. Can you be the next Dick Spieler? I don't have the talent to speak. I don't have the talent to play piano. I don't have the talent to play the organ. But I can use the words of my mouth to say, I'm glad that you're here today. Please come back again. If you were here yesterday, you saw Ron and all the ladies, all the young people that were here helping with that ministry. I know that our tech team wants people to help. I need somebody to help me with social media and the Facebook and the website. I don't have that talent. And I don't have that time. I need someone that looks and says, man, I can really make this thing pop if you wanted to. I need that person to show up. We've got people that sign cards and get birthday cards. We've got our Wednesday evening crew. We've got a lady that makes cookies. We've got our God singers in Iraq. We've got our evangelism committee that gets dinners ready for a new one. All kinds of ministries, places that you can serve here. Occasionally, I need somebody to help me deliver DVDs to our shut-in. But if you want a ministry that where you'll walk in more blessed when you leave than when you walked in, go to one of our care facilities in town, California Care, Valley Park West, Bristol Manor. Go in and ask for a resident that doesn't have anybody that ever comes and visits them. Be the person that visits with them. You want to make a difference to the staff of that California Care or Valley Park West? Be the person that goes and visits. We had a lady that did that for several years in our congregation. She's here today. She'd go to California Care. Nobody visited that person. She visited them every time she could. Spent time with her on Sundays. Tried to keep track of her when she got transferred to another nursing home. Boy, anybody can do that, can't they? Just go in and sit with them, pray with them. Just say hi to them. This book here, John Weiss wrote it. He's a young man I tried to recruit to college when I was a recruiter at the college. He's now the preacher of a church that serves over 20,000 people down in Kentucky. He wrote this about a gift. Let's see if you have this gift. He says, one of the ways to get love is to give love. Most Tuesdays, I stand on a corner in the downtown district of my hometown with a sign that says, free hugs. I've done it for more than a decade now. One man looked at my sign for a while, shrugged his shoulders in disappointed tone. He said, I thought it said free hogs. Only in Kentucky would someone be sad that I wasn't giving away free farm animals. I think that would apply right here in California. My favorite street corner is across the street from the courthouse. As part of sentencing, a local judge sends those he convicts to me, and as part of their punishment, they have to hug me. I get a lot of side hugs from the men. One lady rode up on a bike not too long ago and said, what does your sign say? She couldn't read. So I told her what it said. She cocked her head to the side and took another drag from the cigarette she was smoking. Then she squinted and said, are you for real? Come a little closer and find out, I said. So she got off her bike and I went in for the kill. When I tried to pull away from her, she pulled me tighter. She buried her head in my chest and said, nobody's hugged me for a long time. When nobody hugs you, you begin to feel like a nobody. Nobody's a nobody to God. Everybody's a somebody to God. One of the ways we experience His love for us is by giving His love to others. And there's no way to give love without getting closer. God doesn't try to love us at a distance. God came down and love came with Him. And God doesn't stiff arm anyone who needs to be loved. God doesn't give side hugs. If you don't think you have an ability, if you think you're like that one in the parable of the talents that buried us down, God, you can't use me. Maybe it's like Jeremiah, I'm too young, or Aaron, I can't speak, or Moses, I can't do this. You can always give a hug, can't you? Stand outside the courthouse, stand downtown at the Sweet By and By or at Casey's. People might look at you strange, but I bet you'd get more out of it than you'd give. What are you going to give your life for? Are you going to give it for a sport? Are you going to give it for a hobby? Some materialistic thing that you're trying to hold on to? The question that we have to answer is, are we going to be wealth builders or kingdom builders? Did Jesus say store up treasures for your retirement? Store up treasures for later in life? He said store up treasures in heaven. As we serve together, our lives take on an eternal purpose. I look at puzzles, and the border of the puzzle is what we go for first. The border of the puzzle is the church. The pieces in the middle are each individual talent being connected together. And that's the goal for us as a staff and a goal as you, as attenders and members, to find out our piece of the puzzle connected together so we can make a difference for this kingdom. It came to the end of that parable of the talents, and the man had excuses. And what did Jesus call him? You poor and lazy and wicked servant. Because he took what God had given him and he buried it. It's time for us to let the Holy Spirit speak to us and find that fourth step on our discipleship pattern, our discipleship journey, is to find our area to serve. If we don't have it here at the church right now, let's discover it, let's create it, let's make it happen. If there's a need in our community, let's fill it. Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for us so that our lives could be filled with praise for him. So this morning, I encourage you to read through 1 Corinthians 12. Let the Holy Spirit speak and see where he pricks your heart to step out on faith, to step out of your comfort zone and say, you know, I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to volunteer for something at the church, whatever place it's going to be. I'm going to volunteer for something outside the community. I'm going to find a group that needs my assistance. whether it's a care facility in our place, whether it's our inmate friends that are here from Tipton, we're going to find a place to serve, make them feel important, and let them know that God loves them. It's time to go. Last week, one of the Sunday school classrooms took the sermon to heart. They got together and had a fellowship meal, I think yesterday, didn't they? They wanted to send me a picture. If you got one, I'd love to have one. That's how we continue to grow. It's a little scary to step out of your comfort zone and ask God to do it, but I'm so thankful for the servants we have. But when we're all serving together, we won't be able to contain all the people within this building and the influence that we have in the community around us.